Reconstructionist Radio presents a War Room production. The Hellraiser Report. With the fire-breathing Christian, Scott Allen Buss.
Howdy y'all, this is Scott from FireBreathingChristian.com. Welcome to the Hellraiser Report, and today we're going to be talking about how real men don't tweet, or do they? Now, for most of you who are listening to a podcast, like me, you're into social media, you're into technology, you're probably into Facebook, and you're probably even into Twitter. But I'd be willing to assume, and I am willing to assume, that like me, many of you also have struggled to fully embrace, shall we say, one or more of these social platforms. And for me, the social media platform that I just had the hardest time sort of diving into was Twitter. I don't know if it was just pure ego, pride, some sense of manliness that just didn't conform to the Twitter concept. But the idea for me of a man, especially a reformed, thinking, serious, biblical man, tweeting online with regularity, there was just something about that hit me wrong, was not quite right. I couldn't reconcile it, much less embrace it for the longest time. And even as I'm sharing this with you here now, I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, good night. That is ridiculous. It just sounds so wacky. And yet, when you strip aside the ego and the pride and the vibe that's sort of permeating a negative response to something like Twitter, and you recognize the incredible, awesome, culture-shifting tool that thing can be, put it in a proper perspective, get over ourselves, me get over myself, and dive on in and recognize that God has given us each and every one of these tools, whether they're made by unbelievers or believers, they're tools that have been provided ultimately by God to be used. And so, Twitter, along with Facebook and Google Plus and everything else, has been something that I've been trying to get more familiar with and more into. And I have, at this point for me, I'm much more enjoying Twitter as an observer or a reader. There are some guys out there. If you have not subscribed to R.C. Sproul Jr.'s Twitter feed yet, it's incredible. Doug Wilson has a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of great stuff being put out there in that format, and we should all be thankful for that. And I would argue we should all be looking for ways and opportunities to contribute to that in a good way ourselves. So do real men tweet? You bet they do. We need to be thankful that they do, and we need to be wanting to be those men ourselves, those men and those women who are out there actively engaging the culture, taking every thought captive to Christ, capturing every hill on every battlefield, including even hills called Twitter that have us tweeting. Yeah, even that. And we need to set aside our pride, get over ourselves, and get with the program. Now, another reason this came to mind to me over the last little while is that there'd been a lot of news lately about what PayPal and Apple and other companies are trying to do to North Carolina in light of certain legislative moves made there in North Carolina to, of all things, assure that men use men's restrooms, women use women's restrooms, that sort of thing, that sort of very basic thing that now isn't very basic anymore in America. That's become a cultural battlefield, the bathroom, who should be allowed to enter which bathroom. Anyway, North Carolina made legislative moves to address that issue in a way that upset the LGBTQ perpetual letters, insert them here, cultural chaos group. And so those folks and their advocates at the top of many of the most powerful corporations and businesses in the world have vented and raged at North Carolina, including prominently Apple, PayPal, many others, and more doing it all the time. You had Bruce Springsteen coming out here lately and canceling shows in North Carolina to make his point, so that he could make his stand on this hill that he deems worth fighting over. And so the question came up, of course, well, what do we do about these companies? And the knee-jerk reaction And it's a knee-jerk reaction that I can relate to, I can identify with. And it is this idea of just, oh, whoa, stop. I'm not doing business with this company anymore. It's the boycott them approach. You know, you hear that Apple's doing what it's doing, and you say, well, I'm never buying an Apple product again. Or PayPal's doing what it's doing. Well, I guess I won't be using PayPal anymore. Or that Ford or Chevy or AT&T or Verizon or Macy's or Walmart or Conoco or Chevron or Shell or Exxon, well, they're all into this movement too, so I guess I'll have to boycott them. And you see where this is going. And one of the funnier things, well, first let me say that in light of that scenario, in that context, I wrote a post at firebreathingchristian.com basically asking what are we supposed to do with these companies as Christians in this context. And I shared the story around using social media, yeah, including Twitter, and some of the responses I got. I was pleasantly surprised that the points I was trying to make did seem to come across with a lot of people. They understood and appreciated where I was coming from. And yet, as you would expect, there were a lot of folks in different places where the story had been shared, the article had been shared, who would post on Facebook, primarily, something along the lines of, they'd see the title for the post, which was, just to be clear, the title of the post was, What to Do About PayPal and Apple and Target and AT&T and the Fake Money That Fuels Them All. And then I had a bunch of corporate logos with the rhetorical question in the middle of them as the graphic, and slapped that around Facebook, shared it on Twitter and everywhere. And on Facebook, every now and then, there would be a response from someone who almost certainly did not read the article, and their instant response to the question, what to do about PayPal and Apple and Target at AT&T, is boycott them, just boycott them. Lines like, put your money where your faith is, and that kind of thing, were frequently, although not predominantly, the responses of folks who came across this article on Facebook. Now, the irony of posting that perspective, of advocating boycotting companies that are well known for their support of the LGBTQRS whatever movement, and that are well known for their anti-Christian worldview promotion, the irony of posting a boycott proclamation on Facebook is just too thick, too beautiful, too juicy not to notice. But apparently a lot of people doing it are not noticing, and they're saying these things, demonstrating as professing Christians in the social media context, they're shouting to the world that I don't think coherently. I am not consistent in my beliefs. I'm just reacting emotionally just like everybody else. And that's a huge problem. We need to understand that when we're advocating something, and on the subject of boycotts, it's a totally valid, viable, legitimate approach in certain contexts, and each of us are going to define where those certain contexts are proper and improper differently. I understand that. Not the point of this particular podcast. Maybe we'll get into that in a future installment. But if you're, whatever you're going to do, if you're going to advocate boycotting, you need to, if you're promoting this as a rational, coherent Christian response to a particular situation, you need to be advocating it in a coherent, consistent manner. Consistency is key. So when you're out there talking about or berating people for supporting companies that are actively opposed to a Christian worldview, at least their leadership is actively opposed to a Christian worldview, just be sure that you're not doing the berating in a context that has you practicing the very thing you're preaching against. So, all of this for me, in the article that I wrote, two of the companies that I focused on that have come under the spotlight in the context of this North Carolina situation, Apple and PayPal. I use both Apple and PayPal products or services. Obviously, PayPal is more of a service. Apple creates tech products that I love, that I have found to be far and away, in my experience, and I'm not an Apple cultist. I'm not here trying to enter into that whole argument, not here to convert anybody, but I've bought a lot of equipment, a lot of technology items over the course of my life. I've tried a lot of different things. I have at many points tried vigorously to go anywhere but Apple for certain things. But at the end of the day, when I just do an honest assessment of the situation, my experience has been that Apple products have been far and away the best and far and away the most reliable. And that has to count for somewhere, something in here. You know, at some point, the quality of the product has to matter to us as Christians. As Christians, the pursuit of excellence producing things that are, anyway, I won't get into it. Pursuit of excellence. You all understand that. We have a fairly limited amount of time here, and I don't want to chase that rabbit too far. Bottom line, Apple makes great stuff. On the PayPal front, PayPal does what it does, and it's a very important thing that it does, allowing for the transfer of resources, of money, for payments to be made and payments to be accepted easily, effortlessly, reliably. They do it very, very well. So, with those things noted about those two particular companies, and with me reminding that at firebreathingchristian.com and at theendtimes.news and here in my little home office, I use Apple products and we use PayPal to facilitate much of what we do. But even with that being the case, or especially because that is the case, and in light of the North Carolina situation, once again, I revisited the idea and my our personal relationships, seemingly small and insignificant though they may be in the grand scheme of things, where I always want to be looking, always want to be reevaluating, always want to be reforming and of a reforming mindset when thinking about everything, including whether we should be using PayPal, whether we should be using Apple products, or buying Apple products in the future. How do we tackle this as Christians? And one of the things I did in light of the PayPal situation is I made it a point. I'd seen some alternatives advertised on Facebook and in some other places for companies claiming to do basically what PayPal does, but they claim as a company to embrace or support something vaguely described usually as Christian values or traditional values or something like that. And so I went to two of the websites for two of the companies advertising themselves in this way. And at each different website, there was a different way of sort of submitting initial information, just basic contact information, because there was no way at the websites, for at least that I saw, to just find out the basics or get things started with the company the way that you can at PayPal. You know, get the ball rolling. Let's get this thing going. So I filled out the contact forms at both of these sites, and then I waited, and I waited, and it took 2 days for one to contact me and 3 days for the other one to contact me, just with an initial, here's what we do, let's tell you more about who we are, 2 to 3 days. And right there, I'm just saying, that is unacceptable. You are not a PayPal competitor. You're just not. You're not. And from me, and I don't know how this might come across to you, and I'm certainly not saying those who disagree with me are not Christian or they're not wise or whatever. I could be totally all wet on this. But for me, I am not at all. Not only am I not obligated as a Christian to support some vaguely Christian value associated company who's trying to jump into this PayPal situation and take advantage of it and get some business, but I feel a real moral biblical obligation not to reward that behavior when they are doing such a poor job out of the gate, even beginning to compete with the service that PayPal offers. PayPal does what PayPal does very well, and it's very important. What tiny little amount of money we're able to bring in through the gracious support and contributions of folks who appreciate the fire-breathing Christian stuff, we need to get that seamlessly without any hiccups or problems. PayPal does that. And when my initial experience with a potential alternative to PayPal is that they can't even begin to get back to me within in less than 2 or 3 days' time, I'm done. I'm not interested. You know, I'll look into it again, maybe with these guys later if I hear that they've changed in some fundamental way, but that won't fly. That is not going to work. And I just don't think that's the kind of business that we as Christians need to feel compelled to give ourselves over to because of what PayPal is doing in North Carolina. And as far as the Apple stuff is concerned, you know, Apple, Google, almost Microsoft, all of the big corporate tech producing companies, they're committed philosophically, their leadership is committed to a pagan anti-Christian worldview. I understand that. And yet at the same time, the products they make, and this is very important, are not inherently evil. And I would argue it is not inherently evil or sinful to purchase and use their products. Though certainly there's an argument to be made and considerations need to be made as to how much we're funding organizations that are committed to opposing the kingdom of God. And at what point do we boycott or pull out? And I do think that it's a matter of just each of us trying to assess the context that we're in as to what our need is for a certain product or service, what else is available, and when we can make that move. But in the broad general sense, to say out loud as Christians in social media or anywhere else that we all ought to be boycotting any of these companies that have this sort of worldview permeating their leadership is asinine. That is ridiculous. That is so far beyond rational and not, and so far beyond anything biblical, as I understand it, that it ultimately is an approach that can only further marginalize and weaken us in our efforts. And by that, I mean, in this context, if we are not going to use the tools God has given us, and God gives us tools through unbelieving minds, unbelieving creative people who make things that are very useful and good in and of themselves that we can then have access to in this comparatively free market that we live in America, so that we might then use those tools in opposition to the worldviews of those who've made them. And this all really does come under that beautiful, all-encompassing heading of 2 Corinthians 10:5, taking every thought and thereby every action captive to Christ. And that really covers everything. So everything that's produced, every tool that's made, every tool that's used, we are to seize all of those things and take them captive to Christ. That's the attitude we ought to have when we're wondering what to use and when to use it. You know, what's our motive? Why are we wanting to have this thing or use this service? And what is the context in which this service or this thing is being provided or marketed? And with the examples of Apple and PayPal, are there competitors out there that are operating from a more friendly worldview perspective, who are producing items, producing tools, or providing services that are competitive, truly competitive? And in that context, look, if it's close, but they're not quite there yet, you know, explicitly Christian tech company emerges and they're making smartphones, they're making monitors, they're making computers that are competitive with Apple, but they're not quite there yet. I personally will err on the side of the Christian company. I'm not saying that I would necessarily advocate being so rigid that as to only go with the absolute best product available. I think you have to factor in other things, other considerations have to be made. But the bottom line is we cannot be cutting ourselves off from the incredible tools, the highest level of technology that God has made available to us through companies like Apple, PayPal, Twitter, Facebook, all of it. There's so much more to get into on this subject, of course. Man, the technology and the things that God has made available to us now, in this moment, this time in which we've been placed, is so incredible. Science fiction and reality are blending and blurring together in ways that, as Christians, ought to really excite and invigorate us. It's incredible what God is bringing to bear in His creation through technology. Man, I mean, it just blows my mind. We are getting short on time, so we can't chase that rabbit any further right now, but please do go check out the articles at firebreathingchristian.com. Also, head on over to theendtimes.news for the new Christian satire site. That's only been up a few weeks, but it's going over very well. And do look for Fire Breathing Christian and all the other Reconstructionist radio guys on Facebook and Twitter. All right. Well, thank you for listening. I really look forward to getting back into a more regular groove once my day gig as working in the Tennessee State Legislature wraps up, and it's at least its busy season wraps up here in the next week or so. And so Hellraiser Report podcast should then resume or take on for the first time a regular weekly schedule. I appreciate your patience in the meantime. And until next time, thank you for listening and keep swinging for the fences, taking every thought, every action, and everything captive to Christ, all by His grace and all for His glory.
Thank you for listening to the Hellraiser Report with the fire-breathing Christian, Scott Allen Buss. Now get out there and raise the gates of hell.